right. Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us this weekend. For these segments, we've got a special guest in the studio, Dustin DiPoli. He's a friend of mine. I've hunted with him before on a rifle hunt. He's new to archery, so the goal this year is to get him a mule deer with a bow. We got him in here to kind of talk through his setup, his experience thus far archery hunting, what he's going to apply for, and some of his practice routine right now. Dave and I are going to offer suggestions and do what we can to make him successful this season. So, Dustin, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Henry, and thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely. Just to start with, thus far, what got you going on archery? How'd you get started? And what has been your experience?
Well, about 4 years ago, I was unsuccessful in the first drawing, and there was some archery tags left over. And I had a buddy who was trying to get into hunting, and we both made a pact. Let's apply for these archery tags. And if we were successful, we'd go buy a bow and give it a whirl.
Okay. And I take it you were successful.
Yes.
Because you wound up with a bow.
Yes. Yeah. I drew an archery tag for Unit 32, had a short amount of time to get in some practice and to try to be proficient with it.
Now, what was your experience on that hunt? Did you guys see anything?
It was pretty few and far between up there. On our second trip, we finally ran into some and then tried a couple different approaches. It was scarce.
After that, you had a bull elk hunt, correct? With a bow?
That is correct. The following year, I drew a bull tag for 72 to 74. That was the ultimate experience. That's what really got me hooked.
Successful, unsuccessful on that?
Unsuccessful. Day 9, finally got onto a bull. Watched him bed from probably 500-600 yards away. Got within 35 yards of him before he realized we were there. And I got off about a 50-yard shot as he stopped running away. And I tagged a branch on a dead tree.
Okay, yeah. Didn't check the flight path. Yep.
I'm transitioning from the any legal weapon rifle hunt to archery. I mean, when you went into your first hunt, the deer hunt with your buddy, with an archery weapon, did you think it was going to be similar to a rifle hunt?
Not at all. It was extremely hard to get that close to mule deer, especially the timing of the hunt. You know, worrying about the wind and do I sit in a spot close to their travel? Do I try to spot and stalk? You know, the different approaches.
Yeah, a little different than the rifle hunt, yeah. It's one of those added components of actually being an archery hunter is not just being proficient with the weapon, which is extremely important. It's actually all of the steps going to getting to that point where you can actually take the shot.
Exactly.
Did you go to the University of YouTube, or how did you make that leap from, okay, I'm within 250 yards, I'm going to pull the trigger and whack this thing, to now paying attention to the wind? And was there anything you did there?
I was always into spotting and stalking. So that was my initial approach, which didn't work out. And so I would try to position myself within travel lines, you know, to catch them coming or going.
So you kind of relied on past experience, because I know you're experienced in the mountains as far as rifle hunting. You used some of that to go into the archery hunt, knowing you'd have to get closer.
Yes, and it was a huge learning curve. At first, I didn't even have any wind detector, you know, and realized how important that was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep.
So lessons learned from your first and second, you know, your deer hunt and then your bull hunt. What are some of the things that you feel you need to concentrate on?
100% patience. Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. Smart. Yeah.
Patience. Yeah. Because, you know, as long as you got enough daylight to work with you, there's so many things that play into, you know, having a clear shot, an ethical shot, you know.
The thermals.
Yes. Yeah, checking thermals. Yes. Yeah.
There's, you know, who you take with you, what you prepare with. There's so many variables that play into it.
Absolutely.
Very much so.
So switching gears a little bit, you got that first archery tag. You said, okay, I'm going to be a bow hunter. What'd you wind up with as far as a bow? Talk to us a little bit about your setup, the bow, the arrows.
I ended up with a Hoyt Power Max. I purchased it from Wasting Arrows. The people there let me shoot few different bows, feel, you know, what I was most comfortable with. I'm very happy with it thus far. Learned to be proficient, put a nice spot hog sight on it, 5-pin, you know, really take the time to dial it in. I used to play golf, and I kind of relate archery to golf. There's so much
that plays
to the equipment, the form, getting repetitions in. Yeah.
Have you dove into setup at all as far as tuning the bow, paper tuning it? Or was it one and done? You did it when you bought it?
They did check it through paper, and then after I had to put a new string on it, I had it rechecked then. I did not do it personally.
Okay.
But I seem to be, you know, it's pretty accurate for me in small groupings throughout the yardage, so I didn't want to mess with it too much.
How far have you shot it?
I have it from 30 to 70 yards, and 70 yards is the furthest that I have shot it.
Arrow flight looks good, everything flying straight, you're grouping at 70?
Yes, grouping. I had a couple weird arrows, and I kind of marked them if they'd fly weird, and then if they flew weird again, I give them another mark, and so I, you know, weeded those ones out.
Now, have you ever thought about just trying to learn your bow on your own? You know, learning how to paper tune it, make sure that all of your adjustments are set. One piece of advice I could give you on the hunting aspect, I do it on all of my bows, is once I have that bow shooting, you know, I'm hitting dimes at 50 and 60 and 70 yards and such, I mark everything. Everything that can move on that bow, I mark it with a silver Sharpie.
You know? That's a good call, Dave.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you mark your rest, you mark your cam, you mark everything that has the potential of getting loose and sliding out on you, because the time it's going to happen is when you're in the mountain and you're hiking along and you sit there and go, man, what's that rattle sound?
Oh, yeah.
And then you look at your bow and you're like, oh, that's not supposed to be like that. And then you're making these guesses out on the mountain.
Real world example, that Winnemucca shoot we were at, I had a couple shots where something rattled and felt like a good shot and just wound up in the eight, didn't hit where I was aiming. And I went, well, that's kind of weird. Just me. Well, I get home and I realize the string stop, the screw that holds that in place was loose.
You have a PSC?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Is that
against,
a common?
Yes, nothing against PSC. PSCs are phenomenal bows. They are great, great, great bows. They really need to re-engineer that bar.
Okay.
Because it is like a hinky little Allen screw that's super itty-bitty tiny that you have to just tighten in there, and then just a little bit of a turn to tighten it up a little bit, and it's supposed to hold that big bar
right
from moving again from your string hitting it at, you know, Mach 4. They are
notorious for that.
Notorious,
huh?
For just coming loose and then rattling all over the place.
But yeah, I got home and I realized my string stop was about quarter inch off the string, and it was just flopping around.
The really small set screw that they provide you
right there,
take that thing out, toss it in the dumpster, go to Home Depot or Lowe's or somewhere, get yourself a inch and a half stainless steel screw.
Okay.
And use that.
I will do that. And Loctite it?
I wouldn't Loctite it. What you could do is you could put it down pretty tight to where it makes a little itty bitty mark on the screw, on the carbon fiber dowel.
Right.
Pull that out, take a drill, put a little bit of a mark in there, a little bit of an indentation. Slide that dog back in there and then lock it into the indentation.
Oh, okay. I will do that.
Yeah.
So anyway, back to your point.
Back to the point.
Yeah. I experienced that this last weekend, stuff moving around on me. So that's something, and I'll do it with you, Dustin. As we get closer to the season here, I think what we should do is shoot your bow through paper, have you shoot it through paper, and we'll go through everything. And like Dave said, take a silver Sharpie, put a dot, make sure everything is locked down and good to go.
Yeah, and then do a walk Sounds back.
Good. Yeah, so, absolutely.
But yeah, no, we'll work with you this year, and we will do the best we can to get some success, chalk up a success with the bow.
Yeah, get you a mule deer.
I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Talk to me a little bit about your practice routine. And this is something Dave, subject matter expert on this stuff. In fact, right before we started recording, I started picking your brain on setup stuff. But what are you doing currently to practice and get ready for the upcoming season?
Well, I've probably been slacking a little bit since it's been winter. And yeah. I really would like to get into league just to get the repetitions in. During warmer season, spring, all the way through till hunting, I'll do outdoor, go to the outdoor facility, shoot at the targets there. A buddy of mine has a few acres with some 3D targets on it, put in some time there. I do have a range set up with some hay bales and a bag. A lot of times at lunch, I'll go and, you know, put in 50, 60 arrows just to stay fresh and remember some of the basics, strengthen the front arm and the pull arm. So
where'd you learn to shoot a bow?
Self-taught.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Trial and error, I guess. No, I got the basic form down from working. They worked with me at Wasting Arrows when I first bought it.
Lystra?
Lystra, yes. Yeah. Okay. Yes, yeah.
No, he,
good.
Yeah, that he knows his stuff. I mean, he's one of, I think, only two level four USA coaches in the state of Nevada. So
very helpful.
Yeah.
I believe it was his wife, too, him and his wife.
Oh, yeah, Dina.
Yeah, Dina. So it only took one string to the arm on my own time to realize a couple things I had to remember.
You're a quicker learner than I am.
So have you ever thought about going to 3D shoots?
I would love to do that.
We have a great shoot coming up here in the middle of April, which is the Silver Arrow Bowman Bonanza Shoot, which will be held on April 15th and the 16th, the same weekend as the Pope and Young Convention. They put on a fabulous shoot.
It's out in Lemon Valley, right?
That is the Lemon Valley, the Washoe County Archery Facility there.
Okay.
That the Silver Arrow Bowmen do a great job of managing it and keeping it a really top-notch facility. That is one thing that will definitely start improving your hunting performance, is getting out there and shooting these tournaments at 3D targets, that you're shooting different angles, you're shooting up, you're shooting down, you're shooting across, you're shooting across a hill, across a canyon, provides you with some pretty close to realistic opportunities or shot scenarios. So
I would like that, you know, and also you're under a little bit of pressure because you're doing the tournament instead of just hitting the bag repetitiously.
Well, that's a mindset.
Yes.
You got to remember, that's all a mindset. When me personally, when I go to a competition, I'm only shooting against myself. I kind of blank out everyone else because it's not paying my mortgage. So I'm just out there to have a good time, to try to do place the best score I possibly can, and I focus on my shooting abilities. And that's it. If I end up at the end shooting a good score, that's awesome.
I like that.
However you do that, Dave, it certainly worked this last weekend. He wound up in a shoot-off for first place in his division. I need to pick your brain on how you put those blinders on and get into your own headspace. But I was going to say on the 3D thing, here's one thing I noticed at this last tournament. The hunting application for shooting those style of tournaments, it's a one arrow deal. And what I mean by that is with the indoor league where you've got a three spot or a five spot target, it's like, okay, I pulled that first arrow a little left. I now can knock another one and I'm shooting at some. So you can kind of make these micro adjustments as you shoot versus the 3D tournament where it is so realistic. You're only shooting one arrow per target.
Depending on the shoot itself.
Oh, okay.
So the Redding shoot's a two arrow shoot.
Oh, so I stand corrected. This Winnemucca one was one arrow per target.
Yeah.
And I thought that was cool because I thought, well, yeah, this is, you don't have, a lot of the time, you don't have a second arrow to make up for a poor first one hunting. So this last weekend, it was cool because it was like, yeah, I got to send one arrow and I got to own that arrow. Whatever my score is, I can't make a second arrow adjustment.
Correct. And that's generally how the hunting process goes. Usually you rarely get a second opportunity. But this shoot that we were just at this last weekend with the Winnemucca Club, which put on an awesome shoot.
It was incredible.
Awesome shoot this year. If anybody wants to try that same format again, indoor tournament, you have another opportunity here. April 1st and 2nd in Fallon at the new convention arena there. I think it's right near Scheckler. That shoot will be set up just like the Winnemucca shoot. It's a 2-day shoot, and it is April 1st and 2nd. I highly, highly recommend, if you want to become a better shooter and, you know, have some of those stressors walking around you and some of those components and kind of work those bugs out, get out there and shoot it. And before that, our first outdoor tournament is March 26th at the Carson City, the Clear Creek Bowman. That's a really good shoot too. But that, I think that one's two arrows per target.
Well, for sure, Dustin, let's look at getting you out to Fallon, if not the Carson one, and shoot with us, get some practice in, and as we get closer to the season, start maybe stretching the legs, send some arrows at 100, 115 yards, and get that confidence up to where, because I know you're going to draw, so when you do draw and we go hunt, you're 100% confident out to 60, 70 yards where there's no question you're going to hit something.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Now, the crux of the whole equation, we got to get you a tag first. So exactly. I dumped an encyclopedia of stuff on you a couple months ago, said, look this over, go through it, see what you like in there. What did you come up with? What is your application strategy so we can get that tag in your pocket?
I really would like to get something closer to home here so I could make multiple visits, multiple attempts, watch them, watch their movement. It doesn't always play out that way. So
yeah, they're tough tags to get, especially around this area here.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Those 19 tags and the 2-0 tags, those are pretty tough.
Yeah, I would like to go, you know, everybody looks at the statistics, you know, good high draw rate, decent success rate. You know, there's so many, if you know the terrain, if you have never been there before, there's obviously a learning process. But really just try to get more time out there prior to the season and then during the season to make the most of it.
Now, when you say out there, did you narrow down any of the units that I gave you in that packet? Do you kind of have something picked out?
I have a handful. Yes, I prioritize them all. I didn't bring them with me, so I apologize for that. But I don't want to give away any of the...
Right, yeah. It's like, where'd you go? Hidden Mountain.
I thank you for doing that, Henry. That was awesome. And there's so much good information in the packets there to really make an educated choice.
Like I told you when I gave that thing to you, that's what I do every year. There's certain... We talked about some of the criteria I have when looking at units, and Dave and I have covered it on the show as well, you know, looking at, okay, what did the winter do to the feed sources? Is the feral horse population increasing? Is there more competition in that unit, et cetera, et cetera? So you can get as granular as you want with it. Hopefully I gave you enough to make a good decision, but not so much that it's like, this is overkill. I don't know, man. I'm just going to put in.
Now, are you mainly focusing on deer, or are you going to kind of spread your wings a little bit and get yourself into cow elk? Obviously, you can't do a bull again for a few years, but antelope and antelope shorter than ears, and maybe even put in for a doe tag to
round
just,
it out.
Yeah. Well, just to get an animal under your belt with a bow. I mean, to me, that is such a huge hurdle.
Honestly, for the last 4 years in Nevada here, I put in for solely archery with most of the big game animals. 100%, my goal is to harvest something with the bow, and I'm going to keep at it until I am successful, and then even thereafter. There's just a certain element to archery hunting, and I love how you guys are, you know, so passionate about it, and I never understood it before I tried, and you know, was instantly hooked. It's a very, like I said, very intimate experience. There's so many variables that play into you even coming close. I'm going to focus on mule deer. Yeah.
Okay.
I got to get a muley. That's 100%. And I think I have at least 3 points right now.
That's not bad. Depending on the area in which you're trying to pull the tag and stuff, 3 points is solid. So another suggestion I'd give you is get down to some of the local shops and find out when their leagues are.
Oh, yeah.
You know, get involved. Yep. Get in there. If you can't do the entire league, because a lot of them are, you know, anywhere from 6 to 8 to 10 week leagues, you know, if you pay up front, they give you a little bit of a break. If you know you're not going to be able to do every day, just sign up for the league and show up when you can. And just that repetition, like you were saying, that repetition, working on your form, working on your technique.
Also, for me, it's practicing with people who are experienced and can maybe give you pointers. and, you know, help me in the right direction. Maybe see what I'm doing wrong, you know, in my form, or notice how my arrows are constantly pulling to the left, whatever it may be.
Hey, Dustin, I cannot thank you enough for coming in. I admire the fact that you're willing to kind of put yourself out there and say, hey, I got no ego. Here's my experience thus far. Here's what I want to accomplish. Coming up after the break on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk, we will have Jason Rounceville, the current executive director of Pope & Young. We'll talk a little bit about the organization, projects they are involved in, and the upcoming show in Reno. Hey, thank you everybody for tuning in to Nevada Backcountry on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk, proudly sponsored by Out West Buildings. Today we've got a really special guest on, and sincerely appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us. We've got Jason Rounceville, who is the new executive director of the Pope & Young Club. Jason, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. Talk to me a little bit about the Pope & Young organization.
You bet. We are the national bow hunting organization, and we were founded 62 years ago with the purpose of, our records program was created to prove the effectiveness of harvesting big game with a bow and arrow. Before we had archery seasons across the country, and a group of people got together and decided, hey, we need archery seasons. Here's how we're going to show the fish and game agencies across the country and all over North America the legitimate weapon. And it's been used. We've got them everywhere now.
So it's not a chest thumping thing or a measuring contest. It was originally created to prove the effectiveness of the weapon.
Absolutely. People think that all we are is just a record book, but we're so much more. We're advocates for bow hunting all over the country, all over North America, and even across the world. And it's all about the animal. We recognize the animal, respect the animal, and have, through the last 62 years, amassed the largest data set for North American big game out there. And it's used by biologists and things to extrapolate data and use for research all across the country.
And then how did you get involved with the organization? I'm assuming you were a member first.
Yeah, so I've been here, it's almost 5 years now, and I'd been in the outdoor industry doing conservation work for 20-some years. And this opportunity came about. I'd been a long time bow hunter. I saw this. Actually, a friend of mine called me and he says, hey, you need to look into this. And I talked to the board of directors at Pope & Young. The president at that time, Jim Willems, had some great conversations and came on as ED just almost 5 years ago.
Okay. And I've met Jim. In fact, he and I had a conversation about the, what's the exact verbiage you guys use? A vertical bow or something? The exclusion of crossbows. Jim and I talked about that at length the last Pope & Young show.
Yeah, we get vertical bows, one of the terms used. We are all about hand-drawn, hand-held bows. You know, it's a standard bow and arrow, whether it be a long bow, a recurve, or even a compound. That's what we're all about.
Right. And I completely agree with you. It was interesting to pick Jim's brain on that. Now to switch gears on you a little bit, when you and I were texting, I was trying to call you yesterday, you were actually out of cell service, out doing a bighorn sheep tagging program?
Yeah, we were part of a group. One of the arms of our organization is our conservation and outreach. And so we participate every year. We jump in, typically like to partner with other organizations. In the past, it's been, you know, archery programs, National Archery in the Schools program, NASP or S3DA have been things we've partnered with. Last year, we did some mule deer studies with MDF. And this time, we were working with the Wild Sheep Foundation, Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, Idaho Department of Fish and Game on a three-state bighorn sheep study. And so myself and one of my other team was up on the mountain in northeastern Oregon. We were doing some net trapping with a helicopter of bighorn sheep and putting radio collars on them and ear tags and doing blood samples and all part of the study we're part of. Sportsmen, we need to be given back.
I completely 100% agree, and it's amazing how many people, when I get into conversations at events, archery shows and stuff, that don't really understand the true definition of what a lot of these organizations do. You explaining that, you know, you provide conservation assistance and actually you're on the ground helping as well, as not just financially, but actually physically out there, because you have a vested interest in protecting and assisting our wildlife in persevering and growing.
And I should have added, Jason, when I talked about Dave's background a little bit, he's also the current president of the Nevada Bow Hunters Association. So he knows all too well some of the stuff that goes on behind the scenes with these conservation efforts.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what, Pope and Young, our whole thing is if you're a bow hunter, you need to join something. And if it's Pope and Young, great. If not, you definitely need to be involved with your state organization. Whether you join Pope and Young or either way, join your state organization, because they're out fighting for you every day. I don't think a lot of bow hunters realize the scrutiny that we come under occasionally, and you need an advocate looking out for you. And so we work with a lot of the different state agencies or state organizations, mainly to help where we need to with bow hunting. We've jumped in with Montana a couple of times on a decoy. You know, they tried to ban bow-mounted decoys, and no science behind it. It was just an emotional thing. So we joined with the Montana bow hunters, and we do that all over the country to help lend a voice.
Absolutely. And like you said, that coming under scrutiny from time to time, currently in Nevada, there's a bill proposed to ban coyote killing contests. And it's that low-hanging fruit, maybe, that I think that's the best way to put it, that they always go after. And there's always the plea to emotions that anti-hunters go after. There's always some photo floating around the internet of a poor deer with an arrow through its head or something. And there's the, you know, hey, look what these evil bow hunters have done. And the reality is it was, you know, a couple teenagers screwing around doing whatever and did something stupid. That was not a bow hunter that did that.
No, you bring up a great point. The low-hanging fruit, so to speak, of these anti-hunters. Make no mistake, their end goal is to ban all hunting. Every piece of hunting, every part of fishing, that's their end goal. They actually tried to do that in Oregon. And so they kind of sneak up on you. And like you say, they grab the low-hanging fruit. Oh, let's go after a coyote hunting contest, or let's go after over here hound hunting. And they just do one little piece. Then you're looking around and there's not much left. If you don't stand with the houndsmen when they need our help as bow hunters and duck hunters and deer hunters and elk hunters, then they're not even going to stand with us when we need them. And we will need them.
I use Washington and the bear hunting as an example of that slippery slope. If you give them an inch, they're going to take a mile. And even though I have my preferred way to hunt, if it's legal and it's ethical and you want to do it, more power to you. Do not give the antis an inch.
No. They say, oh, well, if you just meet us here, they don't want to meet you there. Like you say, they just want to pull you down the hill, and they try it every single day. And there's examples where they have gone completely against all, you know, scientific data. It's one of those things that always amazes me that, you know, these fish and game agencies, they hire fantastic biologists that have done years and years of research to get where they are in their positions. And then they want people with no experience with that resource whatsoever to make decisions about the resource. And you see it, you know, Oregon in the 80s had a ballot measure initiative to ban cougar and bear hunting with hounds. There was no scientific basis for it. You mentioned the media push. They actually used videos in their, I still remember them, they used videos in their TV ads that were not from bear hunting. They were not from Oregon. It was from videos taken from a poaching ring that was busted.
Right.
So they used videos from something that didn't have anything to do with what they were talking about. That's the measure they'll go to win. They don't care what it takes. They just want to get rid of our way of life.
Absolutely agreed. Talk to me a little bit about your bow hunting background. When did you start bow hunting and maybe a favorite species to go after?
You bet. I started bow hunting in my late teens. It was, you know, and a lot of why I did it was the opportunity to be out in the woods more. You know, at that time, I think the rifle season was 9 days, and I like rifles too, but the bow season was a month long. And so I could get out there, I could spend a lot more time. It was before school started, it was in August, so it just allowed me more time in the woods. I like to pretty much chase it all. Lately, I've had a lot of fun hunting pronghorns with my bow.
Oh, yeah.
They are the best. They're so much fun.
Yeah, and I hadn't done it much. You know, a lot of it was, it's hard to draw in places. It's tough to get an antelope tag, especially with a rifle. Sometimes it takes you 15, 18 years. So it's pretty hard to get excited about something you only get to do that rarely. And so I just got connected with some folks and actually went on a guided hunt and had such a great time that I started doing it.
Where was that guided hunt?
That particular hunt was in Wyoming with TJ Tavigi with Bear Track. Great guy. Great outfit. I had a lot of fun. He's a good supporter of hunting, bow hunting, Pope and Young. Just had a really great time.
After a quick break here on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk, the conversation continues with Jason on Nevada Backcountry, brought to you by Out West Buildings. Going to switch gears on you a little bit, Jason. Talk to me about the upcoming show in Reno. Anything you're excited about that's different from last year?
You bet. So we're coming back to Reno. We're going to be there April 12th through the 15th at the Nugget. Right now, we are lined up. I think last time, that ballroom full of trophy animals. I mean, you walk in and your jaw just about dropped. We have increased that by almost 50%. I think we went from 125 to over 170 of the biggest trophies taken with the bow and arrow.
Yeah, because the ones last, they were awesome.
Yeah, so we're having to completely change our display process because the room, we couldn't take up any more space in the room because we needed it for the tables, you know, for the dinners and things. And so we're actually having to go two stories high on this animal display.
It's,
I think 174 is the latest I heard. Some other things that are exciting. Number one, 14 potential new world records.
Whoa.
That is, to my knowledge, and if somebody's out there and needs to correct me, by all means, you can find me online. It's not a problem. But we have 14. When was the last time there were 14 potential world records in one room?
Yeah.
I can't find where that's ever happened before.
Yeah, because I think last year there were only three. 14. That's insane.
So that's exciting. 36,000 inches, net inches of trophies. So if you're a score junkie or you like to measure, 36,000 inches.
Wow.
I don't know. Once again, my team was looking. They can't find where there's been a big game display of this magnitude. So just things we're excited about. We have some dinner events. You know, we have a welcome get together Wednesday night. Scentlock is doing a party for us Thursday night. Friday, we have some awards and a small auction. Saturday during the day, if you're a bow hunter and you're looking for a trip, we have vetted some of the best outfitters in the business, and we have a big auction on Saturday. It's during the day. You can come into the Nugget and attend that if you're interested, or you can join us online for that one, talking with my team. And we have so many hunts and trips and vacation packages and some fishing trips that we're going to have to spread some of them out on Friday, some of them on Saturday, and we may have a few that just have to go to the silent auction. That's exciting, especially for bow hunting. I mean, we have trips that aren't necessarily just for bow hunting, but for the archer in the family, that's where we tend to shine because we're talking to the guys that There's a difference in outfitting between an outfitter who will take a bow hunter and an outfitter that wants a bow hunter. I mean, it can be a lot more work. It's,
oh yeah,
you know, it's not, oh, get within 200 yards and you're done for the week. You know, you have to keep going out there and keep going up the mountain and keep crossing. You know, it can be a lot more work, but it's also a lot more rewarding. So our outfitters are typically the ones that's what they want. They want to see that. They want to see the people that are there to give it their all and to provide them an opportunity to see those trophies. So that's exciting. We've got a couple of raffles that I'm excited about. One of them, and we did this specifically with the youth and the 3DA and things like that in mind. We're giving away a hunt. It's a whitetail hunt in Oklahoma, and you get to spend a week in camp with Chuck Adams, who is...
Oh, get out of here.
That's incredible.
And only for youth? What about...
It's anybody. Anybody can buy a ticket, but we made it a $20 ticket so that anybody can participate.
Oh, good. Oh. Okay, so I'm not excluded.
Okay.
Yeah, anybody can participate. It's going to be this December in Oklahoma, and it's at Liberty Ranch, which is a fantastic place to go get a big whitetail.
All right, and I'm in.
I mean, yeah, you want to talk about it. Here's something you can't buy and you could win. And Chuck Adams is so gracious about this. We asked him to do it, and he's like, I usually don't do that. But he's like, you know what? Yeah, let's do it. Yeah. We were going to run this, and we were going to run it earlier and draw it, I don't know, in February.
When I was a kid, Ben, he was like my idol, Chuck Adams. Whenever I grabbed my bow to go hunt rabbits or squirrels or whatever was out there, I always threw on my red flannel.
Yeah.
Always.
And guess what? He's still doing it.
He's got,
I think, one or two of the potential world records this year.
Oh, really?
But that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, he came to us and he says, guys, he says, hey, is there any way, can I draw that at convention? And when Chuck Adams asks you if he can draw the winner to his raffle at convention, you find a way to make it happen. So we said, absolutely. So we're going to draw that Saturday. And then we have another raffle we're doing that's, man, it's a choice of like a Yukon moose is one of the four choices. A lumber combo is a choice. Another choice is Africa with a lion, Cape buffalo, sable, crocodile. And then the other choice is a doll sheep, brown bear, caribou, black combo at Rainy Pass Lodge. I mean, talk about the pinnacle. They're the greatest people, the longest running lodge in Alaska. Love bow hunters, huge Pope and Young supporters, and, you know, Steve and Denise parents. So those are the four choices. That's a little bit more. It's a $100 ticket, but we limited it to $1,500. And we're drawing that, you know, Saturday the 15th. So
I was going to say, I'll officially be broke after the show, but I'm still looking forward to it.
Might have to run to the bank and check out, what kind of equity I got in the house.
Yeah, and guys, you don't have to bring money because we take credit cards.
Perfect. No, I'm sincerely, Jason, I'm excited for this, and I would encourage anybody listening right now, even if you're just kind of on the periphery of bow hunting, you've maybe put in a couple times but haven't drawn, but it's something that intrigues you, I encourage everybody to go to the Pope and Young Convention. It will get you excited. It's hanging out with great people, fellow bow hunters. The addiction will become full-blown after just one Pope and Young show.
Yeah, and it's, you know, if you come for the whole week, it's with the meals and everything, it's a little bit pricey. But we have options where you can even come in just for a day, buy a day pass. You can see the animals. You can hear the speakers. I mean, you know, Remy Warren's a local Nevada guy. He'll be doing some talks for us. We have John Dudley. We have Kurt Wells. We have Jack Frost, Alan Bolin, Frank Noskin. I mean, all the people that you hear about and read about, they're all doing seminars at convention. And so you can come in, get a day pass. And it's so neat because you can come in and you know, I spent the last couple months going to shows all over the country. And ours is pretty unique because we're all bow hunters. We're all there for the same thing. I had somebody at the last one come up and talk to me, and they're like, oh, man, I just sat down at this table, and he was talking to a buddy of his, and I overheard it. So if this is you, I'm sorry if I'm telling your story without permission. But, you know, he's like, oh, my gosh, you'll never believe this. I just sat at this table, and I started talking to this guy, and he was asking me questions about my hunt. So I'm telling him about my hunt, and he says, then all of a sudden I reached out to shake his hand. He says, hi, I'm so-and-so. And he goes, oh, hi, I'm Jack Frost. It's great to meet you. And he's like, I was just telling a virtual bow hunting legend about my hunt this year, and he was genuinely interested. And that's how it is. You literally sit down at the table, and it's like, hi, how you doing? Hi, I'm Chuck Adams. I'm Jack Frost. I'm John Bevett. I mean, and they're just there to have a good time and, you know, BS about hunting and share stories and talk about equipment. It's exactly the opposite of what I expected it to be when I went to my first one.
Yeah, the bow hunter community is a lot like salt of the earth kind of people, just good people.
Yeah, and it was, yeah, I think you mentioned earlier, oh, is it all about, you know, bravado and chest thumping? And no, it's quite exactly the opposite of that in the memories that are made in pursuit of these big trophies. And it's like a lot of the stories you hear, it's not, hey, here's how I got that one that's on display. It's, oh, here's the arrow I'd like to have back. Here's the one I wish I'd have done just a little bit different. And those are the stories that just, they get you smiling because you'll be talking to somebody who is a legend. You know, they're happy with what they've done, but it's always the one that got away that occupies some of their mind.
Oh, yeah.
All of our minds.
That's that common thread in bow hunting. Yeah. Everybody's got those stories. It doesn't matter if you're a Chuck Adams or a Henry Evans. Everybody's got that same story of the one you missed.
And the more you hunt, the more of those you got.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we definitely look forward to getting down, and the dinner's on Saturday, correct?
We have a dinner. The awards dinner for the animals is Saturday night.
Yeah.
But we have, you know, like we have a barbecue Wednesday and got a band coming in Thursday. Scentwalk's bringing in a band for us. And so it's going to be a great time, and we hope to have people come down. Got some day pass specials going on, and we just want you to come down and have a good time. I think we've got about 100 vendors.
Henry and I both look forward to getting down there and checking it out. We'll hopefully run into you, but we definitely are very excited that Pope and Young is coming to Reno this year again.
You bet, Dave, Henry. Thank you both so much for the support and having me on. We're super excited. Nevada and Reno has been very good to us. We're happy to be going back there.
Jason has been kind enough to give us a discount code for all of our listeners. If you're going online to buy tickets for the upcoming Pope and Young convention, use the code PYRADIO to get 50% off. That's PYRADIO. Coming up at 11, we'll have Tom Gresham's Gun Talk. Stay tuned to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk.